You're listening to episode 25 of the National Centre for Writing podcast with me, Simon Jones. Every week we talk about the writing life and discover exciting new projects. It's Wednesday, 12th of December here at Dragon Hall in Norwich, and this week we're chatting with Amma Anwar, debut writer of the crime novel Brothers in Blood. Amma was in town earlier in the year for the Norwich Crime Writing Festival, and I wanted to talk to him about the creation and publishing of his first book. Amma's journey from not being a writer to being a published novelist speaking at a major literature festival makes for an inspiring tale. If you've got a half-finished manuscript lying dormant in a drawer somewhere, listen to this episode and then get back to work. Hi Amma, thanks for coming up to Dragon Hall.
You're welcome.
Very good to have you here. Your book, Brothers in Blood, has just come out.
That's right.
About a week ago as we talk right now. You wrote a really great blog post for us about being a first-time writer and how you finished your first book.
Yes. And
it'd be great to talk a bit about your craft and your process and how you went from not having a book to having a book. Have you always been a writer? So before Brothers in Blood, have you always written, or is this
a new thing? No, not at all. I hadn't written since high school.
Right.
So I don't think I'd written any fiction since the age of about 13 or 14, because then after that, everything was essays. It was all sort of factual based.
Yeah.
And when I went to college and I was doing English Lit and I was doing art history and photography and I was writing essays for those. And like, I knew I could write because the tutors kept thinking I'd copied my essays out of books. But nobody at any point had said, oh, you should maybe consider writing as a possible career path. And I just never thought it was something that I could do. Because who writes books? And you look at the people that write in books. They were like much older, it seemed, and had gone to university and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't think I could do it, but I always had in the back of my head, I always thought I'd love to do it. It was an ambition that I wasn't sure I would ever realize. And I didn't start writing fiction again until I was 36. And I started doing some fiction classes. And I found that, one, I enjoyed it, and two, the feedback I got was very good. People were saying, oh, that was a really good sort of story and piece. And then I had this idea for a book that I thought, oh, if ever I could write a book, this is the book I'd want to write, set in Southall, where I grew up and with characters that I knew. And that idea, I'd had that idea for about 20 years as well. And then when I started writing, I thought, right, if I can write this book, that's what I want to do. And then I sort of set out on that process. But before then, yeah, no writing experience. I hadn't written for work. I didn't have any other novels that I'd sort of put in a drawer or anything like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was coming to it and then spent all my time on this one book because that was the story that I wanted to tell.
Yeah. And how did you kind of change your everyday lifestyle from not writing to having this ambition to write and finish a novel?
Oh, well, it meant writing around other things, giving up like weekends. So, parties and family events and stuff. I would be like, no, I want to write. So if I could get out of going it somewhere, it sounds a bit antisocial really. But, and evenings I would come, and it was a case of like, just switching, not watching TV. And or planning what I was going to watch so I wouldn't just be sitting on the sofa.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a documentary or a particular show I wanted to watch, I'd say, right, that's on at that time, so I've got a couple of hours, get some writing done. And it was very much about just making time, finding the time and making the time.
Yeah.
And I think I was quite driven because I was doing courses and that was pushing me to write, although I didn't start the book straight away because I didn't think I was ready. I was just writing short stories until I was on the second year of a 2-year course at Birkbeck, and I picked the fiction option for the second year. And the tutor, basically at the beginning of the course, we had like a 5-minute one-to-one. And she said, what do you hope to get out of this course? You know, what's your aim? And I said, I want to write a novel and I want it published. That's what I want to do. She said, well, why don't you start doing that now? Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm ready. I thought I was going to like write short stories until I felt ready. And she said, well, you've got a whole year. You can work on this novel for a year and get feedback. And then by the end of the year, you'll have made the start. And I thought, oh, actually, that's not a bad point. And so that's what I did. I wrote the first chapter, which hasn't changed much now in the actually published book. Mm. So, and that first chapter got workshopped a few times, and that's the first chapter I entered the CWA Davy Dagger with.
Right, yep.
And inadvertently kind of won.
So that's that the first chapter kind of became a bit of an anchor
for the rest of it. And it won that award, and that got me an agent, and then all those things served to sort of really drive me and give me like confidence in what I was doing and the perseverance to sort of carry on with.
Yeah, it's really interesting that initially you were assuming that you weren't ready.
Yeah, exactly.
And it took someone else to go, no, go for it.
And I think a lot of people are, it's that self-confidence, you know, it's hard to find that. And I don't know how long it would have taken me to think I was ready. So it was probably good that I had that little nudge from that tutor.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of writing, you're talking about when you start paying attention to what you're doing with your day, you can suddenly free up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Did you write every day? Was that an important part of it?
I couldn't always. I mean, sometimes it's hard to find the time. Things get, you know, real life gets in the way. Like sometimes you do have to go out, or you're just busy at work, and you know, you're going out for a drink with your friends or something. And I didn't. And I used to, that was really difficult because it's really kind of stop and start. And then sometimes when you're in the flow of writing and then you don't write for a few days, it's hard to then get back into that mindset and into that rhythm of writing. But I find if you write every day, it gets easier. My analogy is like a rusty tap. You know, if it's really jammed and you're trying to turn it, and you just get a dribble. But if you carry on every day and you manage to like loosen it up, and then you can turn it, and then you get like a real sort of like flood.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. And I think with writing, if you do it every day, then it just starts to flow better. And you just get into that mindset. And I think that's the same with like any job, or like for sports people, that you know, you have to train and practice.
You mentioned in the blog post, I think, that you write by hand.
I don't. I did for the first book, because I found on the computer that I would obsess over a sentence or a paragraph, and you kind of read it back and then like tinker with it. You know, just because you can like cut a sentence and then go over it. And you'd do that endlessly. So if I had like a 3-hour slot, I'd end up with maybe a paragraph that I thought was just very good. But writing a book that way would take forever. And I read somewhere that if you write longhand, it's a different kind of process, but it drives you forward. There's only so much corrections you can do. Like you can cross out something and put a better idea, but that's about it. And so I thought I'd give that a go. And it really did feel very different to working on a computer. And I found that I was getting in the same sort of time, I'd get like 2 or 3 pages done as opposed to a paragraph or two. And for me, I was like, okay, this is the way I need to do it just to get to the end of this first draft. And that's what I did. And I think, a rough estimate, it was about 150,000 words in longhand, which was like about 5 notebooks worth of stuff. And then when I went back over it, it wasn't great, because it was much speedier, a much quicker sort of speedier way of doing it. And you do kind of think more about what you're going to do, because you know you haven't got the luxury of being able to just type it up, change it, and tinker with it. So you think a bit more about what you're going to write. And I think it's a different process, because it's sort of like sort of drawing or something like that, where it's hand to brain and creating this, whereas just sort of typing on a keyboard, there's that sort of remove, I feel.
So you did that with your first book, which I guess is when... because it was your first book and you hadn't been writing for the previous 20 years or whatever.
Exactly.
You were figuring out your own process
exactly,
at the same time. Yeah. But so have you now changed to doing it on a keyboard again?
Yes, I'm doing it on a keyboard. But that was my learning process. And because I'd never written a book before, and I was still pretty new to writing per se. And I felt I had to do it for that. And then I sort of transcribed it all onto computer. I typed it all up. And then all my editing was done on the computer. And I think by the third rewrite or something, it just felt more natural then to be on a keyboard.
Yeah.
And it took a long time as well to write. And I couldn't take, I got to a point where I was so scared of losing the work, I wouldn't take the notebooks out of the house, you know, like, and go and write somewhere. I thought, if I lose one of these notebooks, that's like thousands and thousands of words. So with a computer, everything's backed up, it's in the cloud, and I feel much sort of much calmer about it.
So, particularly with the first book, at what point did you decide it was ready for other people to see it?
The fifth draft, it was 5 years. So when I got an agent, I'd won the Dagger, I got an agent, and I was talking to four agents, and they said, can we have the rest of the book to read? And I said, well, I've only written three chapters. And so three of the agents were like, oh, well, when you finish, send it to us. And one agent was, I want you to sign with me. And then when you finish it, send it to me. So I signed with her, I'm still with her. And she said, oh, how long is it going to take? You know, you need to finish the book. How long do you think it will take you? I had nothing to measure it by. So I said, oh, 6 months. 5 years later, I sent her a draft I was happy with. And I'd rewritten the book five times in that space. Before I felt, because every time I'd read through it, I would think, no, that's not right. That's not good enough. That's not how I imagine it reading. And that's very difficult, the way you imagine it and then the way you read it on the page. And it was, so it's 5 years later, and it was the fifth draft. I sent it to her, and there was lots of things they liked, but there was still room for improvement. And it took another two kind of major drafts to get it into the sort of shape that it's in now.
Yeah, and this is the first in a series?
It is, yes. So I'm working on a sequel at the moment, which is a follow-up. And lots of people who've read it have said that they would like to see those characters again, which is very nice to hear. So yeah, I'm quite happy to be working on another.
Great. So do you think that's going to be a 5-year project again, or do you feel...
No, I haven't got that. I haven't got that luxury. No, I've got a deadline this time. Yeah. So it's due out sort of towards the end of next year. So yeah, my time is finite. Around the end of this year, beginning of next, it needs to be finished.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Amma.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks for listening, and thanks to Amma for squeezing us into his Noirage timetable. Please do rate and review the podcast over on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to be listening. If you have writer friends, do let them know about us. We have a new range of online writing courses available, including the first time we've offered YA fiction with Chelsea Flood and script writing with Molly Naylor. Returning are, of course, all the favourites, including science fiction with Ian Nettleton, non-fiction with Kieran Pym, poetry with Helen Ivory, and crime fiction with Julia Crouch. Eliza Robertson's fiction course has already sold out, but you can get onto the waiting list for next term. These courses run online, so all you need is a computer and a comfy chair, and they're fully tutored, meaning that the course tutor is around to give constructive feedback on your work for the 12 weeks of the course. To make sure you're always the first to know about upcoming writing opportunities and events, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at WriterCentre, like us on our Facebook page, and sign up to our newsletter at nationalcentreforwriting.org.uk. Thanks again, keep writing, and I'll catch you on the next episode when we're talking with Tamsin Flower about arts funding, what it is, how to get it, why it's important, and how it helped her create the video poetry project, The Lives of F.